Hola, everybody. This is Alejandro Santiago, co-host of We Live Here Auténtico, bringing you episode number 5.
And I'm Gabriela Ramirez Arellano. Is this 5 already, Alejandro?
Yes, time flies so fast, but we're having so much fun. Since our launch, we have been able to learn about trailblazers, leaders, business owners, TV show producers, community members living right here, doing amazing things.
I feel so inspired and empowered after our conversations. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed hearing our guest stories and their challenges, as well as their celebrations.
Throughout the pandemic and the economic crisis, everyday heroes in communities across the country have witnessed the power of coming together and giving back in the face of difficult circumstances. Our guest today has been building community and using her gifts to help the rising Hispanic population in Fairmont City, Illinois, long before 2020. Katie Heaton started her career in library science in 1997 and is now the assistant director of the Mississippi Valley Library District, which includes the Collinsville and Fairmont City Library Centers.
Oh, that's funny. So I was born and raised in Caseyville, and then I married and moved to Collinsville to raise my family. But, you know, there is a connection with me in Fairmont City that, you know, I don't really talk about that much. But actually, I have an immigrant story through Fairmont City as well. And Fairmont City is known to be a high immigrant area. It just so happens the current immigrant wave is Hispanic. But, you know, in 1848, when my family migrated from France, they settled in what is modern day Fairmont City, and they had a 60-acre farm right off of 111. So I do have a connection to what I would consider now my second hometown, because I love the community so much and I love the people in this community so much. But I did have an earlier connection with that. And then even funnier from that is that I have an older sister and a younger brother. We live in different communities. I actually live in Elsa, Illinois. My sister lives in Muscoota. My brother lives in Lindsberg. But yeah, all three of our jobs tie us to Fairmont City, modern day Fairmont City. So my sister is a traveling nurse. She has serviced families in Fairmont City. I'm the librarian in Fairmont City, and my brother is a railroader, and he runs the Alton Southern Line, and he comes out of Rose Lake Yards out of Fairmont City as well. So all three of us are working out of Fairmont City.
Talking to Katie gave us hope and showed us that we can all make a difference. With the growing Hispanic and Spanish-speaking population in Fairmont City and across the country, we were impressed about everything Katie has been able to advocate for and the accomplishments she has had. She saw the gaps early on and knew that she could get the resources for the community through the library, setting a clear example that your background does not define you. If you wish to help your community, you can.
Gabby, the more we talked to Katie, the more impressed I was with her story and how she got started.
Well, when I was in high school, I did everything to work in an office, and, you know, office machines, you know, as fast as I could type, and often race my teacher on typing tests and stuff. And I just saw myself as a typer, you know, typewriter, answering phone, filing kind of clerk kind of person. And that's the kind of jobs I had until I got married and started raising children and decided to go home to be a full-time mom. And then when my youngest daughter was potty trained, I decided it was time to re-enter the workforce. And so I was looking for places that offered a clerk job. And it just so happened the Collinsville Library was looking for a clerk position. And I applied. But I totally thought it was going to be office work. And then when I walked in and did the interview for the job, I learned about library science and what a clerk at a library actually does, which is assist patrons in finding books and finding resources. And so my career as a librarian began in 1997.
Sometimes it feels like destiny works its magic to put us in places we never expected to be.
For Katie, there were many, many instances that life led her to Fairmont City.
Well, I feel like there's such a long history now between me and Fairmont City. If you go back to the beginning conversations, I was working at the Collinsville Library and I was working on a diversity grant. I wanted to bring more diversity into our programming. And so I had reached out to Collinsville Unit 10 and said, hey, can you tell me about the minorities we have? And I wanted to be more well-rounded in my thinking. And I found out about Kreitner Grade School at that time, which had mostly Hispanics. And so I went down and introduced myself to the school, told them I was looking for more diversity in programming at the library. And from there, I found out there was, you know, an amazing community just down the road called Fairmont City that didn't have any public schools, but they had a parochial school at Holy Rosary. So I drove down there for the first time ever and introduced myself to their principal, Shirley Curry. And our relationship with Fairmont City began at that time. And so she was actually looking for ways to get more resources for the children down there as well. And they obviously were lacking resources, underserved in a lot of ways. And so I started working with her, and we began our journey as libraries. And actually, it was Shirley who invited us in 2008 to open up a summer library in one of her school buildings. And so we did that. And from that, at the end of the summer, I did the summer reading program with the kids. And at the end of the summer, it was time to pack up and go back home to Collinsville, when the American Legion in Fairmont City said, "Hey, we got a small hall. You can rent from us as well. Would you stay?" And so then we stayed. And so then our journey as a library in Fairmont City actually, you know, started at that time.
There was no library during the beginning of the 2000s in Fairmont City. And when there was a proposal to open one, it was met with resistance from the community and concerns about raising taxes and other questions came up. But today, the library does offer a lot of resources, and it became a hub for community and many other things. A community meeting space, a bank, even the Easter egg hunt location.
I can't imagine people not wanting a library. Growing up, I was the biggest bookworm, and I loved escaping into a book every chance I could.
The first response was, "Well, we don't really need a library. All you're going to do is raise our taxes." Well, that part is true. You know, libraries are ran by taxes, but I saw it as so much more. And so then it definitely was in my mindset that to teach this community the importance of having resources and what a library can do for you was definitely in my early years of, I really want to show you guys how we can help you as a library and bring resources. And really within a few short years after we opened the library in 2008, I'm going to say just a handful of years, that sentiment changed from that to, and this is what they said, "We didn't know we needed a library until we got one."
Right.
And that's a huge difference.
Right, you know? A huge mindset shift, right?
A huge mindset. But it had a lot to do with me trying to teach the importance of having a library, having resources, opening the door, welcoming all people, all ages, you know, whatever you needed kind of thing.
This resistance did not dissuade Katie. She kept advocating for the library and understanding this was just the first step to provide and connect residents to endless opportunities.
And so then I finally made a little bit of a challenge that ended up being a challenge for them and a challenge for me, is that if you have a question that you cannot find the answer to, come and ask us. If we don't know the answer, then we'll find the answer from you. And when we did that challenge, then the door just started opening and the people started coming in with all kinds of questions and we started finding all kinds of answers.
No se vayan, stay with us, and when we come back, we'll learn more about how eventually Fairmont City and surrounding residents realized that almost anything that they could ever want and need, they could find an answer to at the library.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is
We Live Here, Auténtico.
When I was little, I remember being so excited about the summer reading challenge at the library. And when my daughters, Adriana and Marcela, were young, they loved going to the Rochester Library with their printed sheets where they wrote in their little handwriting, all of the books that they had read since the last time, so they could get all the cool prizes and the Super Reader bookmark and certificate. I can't imagine not having a library nearby.
It is life-changing when you find yourself immersed in books. You open your mind to many ideas or experiences, and it impacts how you develop and move in this world.
As gateways to knowledge and culture, libraries play a fundamental role in our society. They are a place for personal growth and reinvention, a place for help in navigating the information age, a gathering place for civic and cultural engagement, and a trusted place for preserving culture. For Fairmont City, it became even more than that.
Oh, definitely, and that was our goal at that time. Whatever the need was, if it was a community need, I mean, a really good library is putting their ear down and listening. And if they really pay attention, you can hear the heartbeat of the community. And when you hear that heartbeat, you can figure out what the needs are. And that's sort of like what we were doing. We'd hear the chatter. Oh, you need that. I could probably figure out how to do that. You need that social service. I could probably partner with somebody to bring that information to you. So we were doing a lot of literacy work, obviously, because we're libraries. And but there became a time when I think Alejandro was talking about working with the bank as well, but a need for financial literacy. Mm-hmm. When you're working with a lot of families that have low or no credit scores and I-10s for filing taxes instead of social security numbers, they had a lot of challenges with, you know, not being banked, not using banking systems, and cashing their paychecks at the local grocery store, and losing a certain percentage of their paycheck when they did that. And so then we're like, we really need financial literacy, which is how we ended up with the partnership with the bank. The bank walked in and kind of said, it was a bank at Ridgeville at the time, and they said, how are you, the library, so successful in Fairmont City? And I said, well, I can tell you what we did. You know, we committed to the community, and we hired from the community, and we spoke the language of the community. And they were like, I think we can do that too. And so then they came in and they started doing the same thing that we were doing. And eventually they wanted a footprint in Fairmont City as well, because they wanted to come and service the Hispanic community as well. And they couldn't find a place to rent, or they didn't want to build a brick and mortar. So they ended up sharing my building. So I was like, okay, this is funny. So we got literacy and we have financial literacy, but we really, because of that partnership, you know, the first bank library building that we know of in the state of Illinois, bilingual as well. We were the first one that we knew of in the state that was doing this kind of servicing. But because we've been doing that kind of servicing, and because Fairmont City is so 80% Hispanic, it has really taken off with the philosophy of what works well in that community.
With all of the opportunities now available and all of the hard work that Katie and her network put into securing partnerships with banks and other organizations, the community in Fairmont City is indeed advancing and meeting goals. But there are still many needs, and one of those is reliable and affordable internet.
Fairmont City is only 10 miles from St. Louis and is home to a population of 2,381 based on the 2020 census. The average household income is around $50,000, with the poverty rate of almost 30%.
So what I've been advocating is reliable, affordable internet in Fairmont City, and that's what they were lacking. So when I first moved in the library in 2008, I was like, I should get AT&T, you know, or Charter or Spectrum, and those services were not available down in Fairmont City. I'm like, well, why aren't there any services in Fairmont City? You know, they had other, like direct line of sight. Of course, now we know about satellite, and you guys know about cell phones as well, that you can get data through those kind of avenues as well, but there wasn't any really good, reliable, affordable services. And so I've been advocating for that for quite some time. And so every year I would call AT&T and Charter Spectrum saying, hey, can I have it now? Is it available now? And it was always no, 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 no. And so then when I started doing the financial literacy with the bank and they moved into the building, the bank was in the same spot I was, because I had opened my building with what they called a T1 line, 1.5 mega service, wrote a grant and got another T1, and I was 3.0 mega service, running my whole library on that, including free public computers as well. And so then when we got the bank in the building, the bank was screaming for services as well. And I'm like, I've been asking every year for this and I can't get it. And so then bank called up Charter Spectrum and said, hey, we're looking for services in 22 bank branches. It has to include Fairmont City. Do you think you guys can bring us services? And all of a sudden the no turned into a yes.
For 8 years, the Fairmont City Library has been asking for internet, and they were the first building in Fairmont City to get Charter Spectrum Fiber. And you can imagine that everybody loved the fact that they could go to the library and get really fast service. But here we are, 2022, and the residents in Fairmont City still don't have fiber.
I'm so glad the library kept having those conversations, trying to teach residents about options, using hotspots, and what they could afford. Eventually, they sat down with Tania Interian and Fairmont City Mayor Michael Suarez to put together the Neighborhood Assist Grant from State Farm, and they won a $25,000 grant to bring more free Wi-Fi to the rest of the city. They got hotspots for the library and continue to partner with other organizations like PCs for People and working with them on distribution. They're even getting the green spaces in Fairmont City covered with free Wi-Fi as well.
And so then with that, we were invited to sit on some committees for Wi-Fi within the region. And then these conversations started being had with internet and broadband issues. And we finally ended up getting a meeting with the Deputy Director of Broadband in the state of Illinois, Matt Schmidt. And with that, we set down the reason why we thought Fairmont City was being avoided for these kind of services. We understand it's low income. The internet service providers kept calling us rural because we only had like 750 households with like 2,600 people. And we're like, this is the reason why we're being told no on these services. And after that meeting, within a week or two, all of a sudden the no turned into a yes, and we started having meetings with Charter Spectrum, and they actually are bringing in fiber down Collinsville Road, and they're going to be hooking up services very soon here for Fairmont City, all packages for Fairmont City, so there definitely will be more options.
Imagine through the pandemic not having internet access to attend classes, attend meetings, access healthcare or telehealth, to work, or even catch the latest Netflix season of your favorite show. Everything was so heavily reliant on internet and Wi-Fi and connection. But even now, a lot of stuff is staying online.
Schools were wondering what happened to students. Why weren't they attending online classes? Well, they didn't have computers at home, and most of the families would only have a handheld device, usually a phone, but that went to work with mom or dad. And even if the device stayed at home, but there were several children, then how are they going to share that?
Right, so then the kids weren't attending school. And when the school figured out what was going on, then the teachers started visiting the kids in the community. And so then it was really a partnership between the community, the village of Fairmont City, the library, and the school district, the three of us, the superintendent and the mayor and myself. We started having those serious conversations and started getting some answers as best as we could for our community. But during COVID-19, there was a very interesting story that kind of evolved during what is really important, because people would probably say food, water, and stuff is important, right? That's important. But during COVID-19, when we first started getting families asking for assistance, first it was food, then it was utility, then it was rent, then it was funeral assistance, mortgage assistance. But you'll notice throughout that time that they were asking for assistance, there was one bill that they were always paying or always made sure that they paid. And it's the most important bill to them. So if anybody says, how important is connectivity? That was the one bill these families were paying before they bought food. They were paying the phone bills because their phone was everything. It was their connection to their teachers, connection to the jobs, connection to medical. It was their connection. So that was the one bill that I was never asked to pay when we were doing funding through different resources. I just thought that was just simply amazing. But they asked for all those other things.
According to our friends at the Hispanic Star, Hispanics are technology leaders. Across the board, Hispanics overindex in digital consumption, owning and using smartphones, tablets, computers, smart TVs, and streaming services at a higher rate than non-Hispanic Americans. Hispanics are 17% more likely to access the web, more through their phone than at computer. 75% of Latinos are digitally active versus 68% of the total population.
Technology was a way to stay connected to humanity during the last 2 years to find out what was going on.
Yeah, where the food's at, where the food banks are going to be at, or, where the clothing might be given away, or, where the vaccines were going to be available for you. I mean, it was just a way to stay connected. So, yeah, I definitely seen that in our community.
Good thing we have Katie and the team, Tanya, the grant from State Farm, and others, to not only push these needs and advocate for many others, but also taking action and igniting this initiative around technology with some funding. 5 years ago, Katie was interviewed about her efforts to support community in Fairmont City, and she said,
I think the most important thing about Fairmont City is that everybody deserves to live their dream. And when you see a community that's being held back for whatever reason, and you know you can make a difference, there shouldn't be anything preventing you from stepping in and making a difference.
Stay with us. When we come back, we'll find out more about how Katie continues to make a difference in Fairmont City and what we can do in our own communities.
de St. Louis Public Radio, EPRX.
Esto es
We Live Here.
Auténtico.
It fires me up, Alejandro. The lack of technology access, language access. How have we not resolved these basic needs already? How much more clear can it be that these pre-existing gaps are making our lives worse with the pandemic? How is it that some communities are doing everything they can to make a change, like Katie, and others everything they can to defend the status quo? Let me get on my soapbox, but there are so many things weighing on me from the last couple of weeks. The father and son gunned down during the holiday weekend in Philadelphia, the 10 black people killed in a Buffalo, New York grocery store, and the 19 children and two teachers shot dead in a school in Texas. It angers me and inspires me to see language access, or the lack thereof, playing out in Uvalde, Texas. More than half of the families in Uvalde County, where the mass shooting took place, speak a language other than English at home. At Robb Elementary, Latinos make up just under 90% of the student body and speak mostly Spanish, according to reports. I'm so frustrated that the authorities dealing with the shooting have provided public updates only in English, excluding the Spanish-speaking parents of many of the victims.
Wow, I hear you, and you're right about language access. We saw it played out here in St. Louis during the pandemic. As the world started to shut down, no official message ever came out in any language until you and Lourdes started doing Spanish translations on STL Juntos platforms. The work that Katie and her many supporters are doing in Fairmont City is incredible, and we have to celebrate that.
That was definitely true in our community. So we were scrambling to get information in Spanish, but we were having people come into the library and asking us if it was for real. And then we would have to tell them it was for real and give them as much resources as we could to encourage vaccinations if that's what they chose, you know, to understand why their children are not going to school right now and what that looked like. I had a lot of families coming in asking for help with their Chromebooks, trying to understand how they could use their Chromebooks for school when those were issued. It was like a rolling start. And then you guys probably all remember when everyone closed down for a few months and the library went offline. And, you know, we have some services that are 24/7. You can go on the card catalog and see stuff. But when we closed our door, the only thing I could offer the community was my free Wi-Fi service outside my building from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I remember seeing some kids out there sitting in a pavilion attending school because we had internet. And I felt awful that we had to be closed during that time. So as soon as we could get our doors back open, even though we were curbside, you know, we only offered outdoor services, we were back in the building and we kept offering services from that time. And I felt awful being closed for the few weeks, a couple months that we were, and then we were right back in the trenches trying to get information out for the families.
Katie's feelings haven't changed since that interview 5 years ago. She really does have a deep love for the families that are in Fairmont City and often tells them how amazing they are. She started out wanting to start a career for herself after becoming a mother. This career move then turned into love for community, so much that Fairmont City has become her second home.
And I haven't changed how I feel because I've watched the children grow up in this community now. And the first children that I worked with and then working with them coming from 50% dropout rates in high school to now having children, you know, graduating from college and coming out of college and getting jobs, making more than me, which is, you know, any parent's dream. I often call them my kids, you know, and they walk through the door and they tell me their latest update or their latest job adventure or their latest project at work. You know, I feel that inner pride like any parent would feel with their children. And so then I just love being there. I just absolutely love going to work. I love it when someone walks through the door and I can raise my hand and say hi and call them by name.
Yeah.
And I have like a second wave of children that are coming through the library now. And I'm thinking, here goes another generation of children, you know, because I've been working with this community now since 2000. So I've seen a lot of families come and go and a lot of success stories coming out of Fairmont City, where these kids have come from little to nothing. And now they're becoming engineers and nurses and talking on these jobs that these kids had never even heard of when they moved into Fairmont City.
Oh, wow. And what would you say continues to drive your passion? I mean, it's been since 2000, so every day you look in the mirror and what do you say?
I can't wait to go to work today. So, and then it's not like I go out and knock on their doors and say, how can I help you? It's just that the doors are open at the library and anybody can walk in and ask a question. Mm-hmm. And so then I really never know what the question's going to be. So I don't really know what I'm going to be asked to step up to the plate to be, but I'm up for the challenge. And it doesn't really matter what the question is. We're going to, as a good librarian, we're going to find those resources and bring them to the people. So I just love that challenge.
As we talked to Katie about Fairmont City, we could see the joy in her face, and we were grateful to know that there are heroes like Katie helping us all. Not just advocating for the community, but to be a part of their life. She has seen the children grow up in these families, transition to various stages of their lives. What better way to grow up than to always have that consistent figure pushing you, providing, and inspiring?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a small hometown. I mean, it's their motto is a city of good neighbors. And so then it's that reaching over the fence conversations that people have that uplifts the whole community. I've often said, you know, to them as well, that they are so perfectly located. They're in the shadow of the arch. You know, they're right next to the Mississippi. Actually, they own some property all the way up to the Mississippi. And, you know, they're right on the National Road. They're right on the Route 66. You know, they're a high immigrant area because it's been very popular for immigrants to come through the St. Louis region. They're 3 miles from Coquim Mounds. I mean, there's so many things that are, you know, let's just be serious here. Great Mexican food. You know, there's so many things going for my city right now that I can just see them growing and blossoming into this wonderful community where people want to come and visit through tourism. We get tourism now because of Route 66. I actually get people come from Europe and they'll stop at the library and I can tell from their accents, like, where are you from? You know, and it's amazing that they're coming over here to do Route 66. But a lot of people stop at the library just to get directions and things like that too. And you find out they're coming through the area in tourism.
I know we all would like to see change happening sooner and more communities working together, like Fairmont City, to provide support for its residents. What a great example of creating welcoming and supportive resources, especially in light of the pandemic and economic crisis, which only exacerbated already existing systemic inequities.
I do want change, Alejandro. 81% of Latinos, based on a survey from Culture Intel, use Spanish to some degree when expressing their emotions like love, anger, sadness, and joy. Imagínate, what were we supposed to do with that? And I'm not saying that there are not other problems and challenges to tackle or that are a bigger priority. It's so easy to get on my soapbox about language access because I've lived it personally. And I see essential information missing from decision-making processes because of language and technology access. And I am grateful for Katie's authentic spirit of giving. We don't have to speak another language to speak up for language access or any other needs that we see in the community. We can, however, use our privilege and voice to speak up and advocate.
I think that everybody should be who they are. And I think that for me, when I look at like a field of flowers of many different colors, many different heights, a nice variety, great diversity, I see great beauty. And when I look at the people of this nation and I look at a field full of people, I see the same thing. I see the beauty that comes with the diversity, and I hope that everybody can see through those same eyes.
Katie, we are so grateful for you and the work that you've done.
Well, thank you for having me. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for everything you do.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
We Live Here is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Find out more about our guests. Get show notes and more information. And of course, check out our previous episodes at welivehere.show. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Thanks for listening.